yet when we'll lay her earthly remains to rest, you know, to await the resurrection of all flesh. We will, of course, communicate that to the congregation when we know that information. It's appropriate, well, it's appropriate any time we gather for worship. Every day we gather for worship is a little Easter. It's appropriate on the day when one of our own is called home that we look at a text where it says Jesus has done all things well. And he has. He has done all things well. He died for you. He died for Betty. He rose again for you. He rose again for Betty. And she rests even with him, even now. Death does not have the victory over her or any of us. Thanks be to God. He has done all things well. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would be with all of Betty's family, that you would grant to them your peace, your comfort, the comfort and peace that only come from your cross, your empty tomb, your death and resurrection for her, your death and resurrection for us. We beg you, O Lord, that you would comfort all who mourn with your grace, with your mercy, with the proclamation ringing in our ears that you have done all things well. We pray, O Lord, that you will be with us as we hear your word and receive your gifts this day. May we rejoice in what you have to give. In your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen. Order of worship this morning, divine service, setting number 1, page 151. Our opening hymn, let me get there. Our opening hymn is number 549.
Service Setting 1, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We thus deserve your present and eternal judgment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro for the days you find in the front of your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord,
to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty and merciful God, by your gift alone, you faithful people render true and laudable service. Help us steadfastly to live in this life according to your promises and finally attain your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 29. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off. Who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right? Therefore thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters of stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, but of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more what is permanent, will what is permanent have glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing now the hymn of the day, hymn 545. Please be seated.
He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 7th chapter of the gospel according to St. Mark, dear friends in Christ. He has done all things well. That is what the people said. That's what they told their friends, their neighbors, their children. He has done all things well. They saw with their own eyes, deaf ears opened, bound tongues loosened, released to tell the world about Jesus. This man told them about Jesus spitting and touching his tongue. He recounted how Christ thrust his fingers into his ears. He couldn't hear the groans, the sighs of our Lord. He didn't even hear the word which opened his ears. His mute tongue couldn't even vocalize to Jesus a plea for help. But even if he couldn't hear the voice of the Creator in the midst of the creation, it happened. That word did what it said. Ears opened, tongue loosened. He has done all things well. Jesus sternly instructs him not to tell anyone. You imagine the very first words his ears ever hear is an instruction, a command from Jesus that this man and his friends choose not to obey. They couldn't stop praising. This man, who before couldn't say anything rightly, now spoke the true praises of Jesus. His ears were opened by the word to hear the word, to believe in Jesus, and his tongue was released from its prison to sing his praises. He has done all things well. The world scoffs at these words. It mocks the joy of the crowd. Has he? Has Jesus really done all things well? That's a pretty big claim for people who have seen a grand total of one miracle. He has done all things well. Let's do the math. There is one incident in the entire Bible, Old Testament or New, where a deaf man has his ears unstopped. One! Now, certainly the Gospels allude to a few others. When Jesus receives the messengers of St. John the Baptist, he tells them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." Okay, so we can admit that probably more than one deaf man was healed by Jesus. But how many more deaf people do you think lived in first century Palestine? Certainly a lot more than Jesus ever got around to healing. He has done all things well. All things? Did he heal every disease? Did he stop every deaf? Did he feed every hungry belly? No. His miracles, as amazing as they may be, were only drops of healing in an ocean of suffering. Consider that man of our text. Did he live forever? Having been touched by Jesus, did he relax in comfort and security the rest of his life? He could hear and talk now, certainly, But that was not the end of the dangers that someone faces in a world of sin. Let's speculate a bit. How do you think he died? Did he starve? Was he maybe killed by robbers? Maybe he perished in the tumult of the Jewish revolt? The chances aren't all that good that he died in his bed. Many people do not. He died like so many others did, like everyone does. Those whom Jesus didn't help, those whose town Jesus didn't visit, those who missed the ministry of Jesus by a generation, a century, or maybe a millennia. He has done all things well. It appears he's really only done a few things well for a few lucky people. And even they still died. This line of thinking kind of makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Makes us squirm a bit. We mumble something pious sounding about, oh, Jesus is only interested in spiritual healing. That's not really all that comforting, is it? Doesn't the world have a point? He has done all things well? Certainly doesn't seem like it when you look at your own life. Has he done all things well when your nerves or your joints or your heart or your lungs decline and fail? Has he done all things right when you receive a diagnosis of cancer? When you suffer a heart attack, when you have a stroke? Has he done all things well when you are depressed, filled with anxiety, or bound by the chains of addiction? Yeah, he healed some random deaf guy a long time ago. But has he healed you? Has he done all things well when Good Shepherd Lutheran Church prepares to bury one of their own this week? Has he done all things well when your friends betray you, leaving you alone when you needed them the most? Has he done all things well when nations brandish nuclear weapons, when airplanes are blotted out of the sky, when hurricanes drop feet of rain on cities? Has he done all things well when children suffer, get sick, and even die? Every disease, every disaster, every instance of suffering cries out against the joyful words of the text. Has he done all things well? Those people have seen one miracle. You can read about more suffering that Jesus doesn't heal on the front page of the Lincoln Journal Star every morning. You see, a Jesus who seems to care only about your soul, who healed, yeah, a few people in first century Palestine, but does nothing about the other sufferings that fill our world. Can you really say that such a Jesus has done all things well? Yes. Yes, you can. He has done all things well. All things. There is absolutely nothing that he has not done well. Your eyes cannot see it. The world cannot believe it, but it is true. He has done all things well. By the power of his word, he opens your ears to hear the truth that lies behind all the mess of sin and suffering that is all that your eyes can see. You are brought to him, unable to hear rightly, unable to speak rightly, unable to even cry out to him for mercy. And he acts in compassion. Your need is great. You cannot hear the truth of God's word. You cannot speak rightly about God. Like the world, all you can hear, all you can speak are lies. But Jesus has compassion upon you.
He looks up to heaven and he sighs. He sighs because he knows the price that it will cost to heal you. He sighs because he knows the price that is required of him to open ears and unloosen tongues. He groans because he feels that burden heavy upon him. He knows what lays ahead, but he refused to be moved from the path set before him. And he went forth to accomplish the salvation he now gives to you. He touches you with water, splashing it upon your forehead, and he says, "Ephphatha, be opened." He speaks his powerful word to deaf ears, and they are opened by his power. Your ears are opened by the word to hear the word which is truth. You hear the truth about your Jesus, what his sighs mean, what it cost to redeem you, both body and soul. Water washes over your flesh, but it isn't simply a bath. He cleanses your soul in baptism. And he also claims your body as his own, promising that all who are baptized into his name will be healed. They will live, even though they die. Your ears are open to hear the word which proclaims to you Christ's victory over every evil that fills this world and your own life. You hear of the Jesus who spat at the evil of this world, showing his contempt, his anger at what sin had done to those whom he loves. You hear of how evil spat back, as sinful men mocked him and struck him, scourged him and nailed him to a cross. What your ears tell you, your eyes cannot see, that Jesus hung upon the cross to destroy the power of sin and death, to defeat every disease, to overcome every instance of suffering in this world of sin. He took all of the evil of this world onto himself, and he put it to death with himself on the tree, then left it behind in the grave as he rose again in victory. You hear of the resurrected, victorious Jesus who passed through death and the grave and then rose in his body to promise you resurrection in your body. The world tells us, our sinful flesh tells us, that Jesus healed only a few who happened to cross his path. Easter preaches to us that Jesus will heal all believers on the day of the resurrection of all flesh. And Easter tells us that Jesus cares about our bodies as well as our souls. He will not abandon any of his children who suffer. He is with them. He is with you. Your suffering is his own. He takes possession of it. He has done all things well. He has accomplished salvation, groaning on the cross to conquer and to destroy all that corrupted God's perfect creation, guaranteeing perfect healing for all who believe. You know, the healings of Jesus, they were all temporary, to be sure. All who were healed by Jesus as he walked this earth eventually succumbed to something else and died. But they received a foretaste of the healing to come, when the healing they received was a preview of an eternity where disease, where suffering, where death itself are no more. What Jesus demonstrated through his healings is that suffering will end. The reign of evil will be finished. Victory is coming. Indeed, it has already been won. He has done all things well. He certainly cares about your soul, but he also cares about your body. And he died to redeem both and to give you the gift of an embodied existence forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Betty hasn't escaped from her body, as some teach. She has gone to be with Jesus, and her body awaits the resurrection day with all those laid to rest in the Lord. Now, Christ may, in mercy, bring a limited end to your sufferings here in this world, but a day is surely coming when he will bring an end to all evil, raising you up perfect and restored, never to suffer again, never to die again. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And on that day, we will not cease saying, he has done all things well. He has done all things well. He opened your ears to hear the proclamation of his victory over sin and death, to believe what his word says, not what your eyes see. And he has loosened your tongue to sing his praises. Right hearing leads to right praise. When you hear the word of God in its truth and its purity, what you speak, the praises you sing, will proclaim that truth. Right hearing leads to right praise. Wrong hearing always leads to wrong praise. Jesus makes deaf ears hearing ears, opening them by the very power of the finger of God. And he makes impeded speech, speech poisoned by the lies of this world, into right speech. Speech that praises him, that speaks the truth about God and gives him great thanks. He touches our tongues with his body and his blood, loosening them to give thanks and praise, the thanks and praise he is due. Our eyes don't see the truth. That's what our ears hear from the word. That is what our tongues confess. They have been loosened for this very purpose. Loosen to sing his praises, to rejoice with the great Te Deum of all the saints, joining an exuberant crowd in the Decapolis so long ago, saying to Jesus, you have even made me hear your word and speak your praises. You have done all things well. In his name, amen. Jesus, having loosened our tongues through the power of his word, invites us to boldly confess the truth of what we have heard. We stand and we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, confident that he hears and receives us as his dear children through his Son. We come to you, Holy Father, with praise and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord, who truly has done all things well. Through him we beg you to accept and bless the prayers and offerings we bring. Do not consider what we truly deserve, but grant us your forgiveness by grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remember, Lord, your holy church. Watch over her and guide her. Grant her peace and unity throughout the world. Bless the work of all missionaries and mission organizations, especially Pastor Preuss in the Dominican Republic, Pastor Paul in Taiwan, and the St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society working in South Africa. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, President Trump, Governor Ricketts, and all of our public servants, along with those who serve in our armed forces. Guide, bless, protect, and uphold them in honor. Bring all nations into the ways of peace and justice. In your kindness and love, grant us seasonable weather and abundance of the fruits of the earth. Bless all the relief efforts in the Houston area. Protect all relief workers and all those affected by these terrible events, and bring your grace and mercy to all who suffer. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, all who suffer for your name, and all who are in prison, the hungry and ill-clad, the poor and the lonely, those who travel, especially Pastor and Barb, and all who cry out to you in their time of need, especially all who have asked for our prayers. Take them all under your tender care, and grant them a happy issue out of their afflictions. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Father, in communion with your whole church, we give you thanks for your saints, in whom you have given us a mirror of your mercy and grace. Give us grace to walk before you in imitation of them, and grant to us a share in your heavenly fellowship. Grant especially your grace and mercy to the family of Betty Kieselhorst, whom you took to yourself this morning. Grant to them the peace that only you can give. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we rejoice with all those who rejoice, especially this day for Bob and Elaine Van Valkenburg, who are celebrating their 62nd wedding anniversary. Grant that we, as the body of Christ, will rejoice with all those who rejoice. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please sign in and pass it along. Guests and visitors, we're glad to have you with us this day. We'd ask that you would provide us with your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this day. At this time also, out of the bounty that our Lord has blessed us with, we render him our gifts and offerings. Thank you.
Stand, and we continue with the offertory on page 159. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, and we are praising You and saying, heaven and earth, for You have had mercy on those whom You created and sent Your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathering the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg You, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with Your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us to do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To You alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Same way also, He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Listening to KNNA LP FM 95.7 in Lincoln, Nebraska.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis on top of page 165. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated and we sing hymn 582, God's Word is Our Great Heritage.
First of all, before I forget, we want to thank everyone who volunteered for the conference over the past week. It logistically went incredibly smoothly, and we were great hosts. Our congregation hosted magnificently. So thank you very much to everyone who helped in any way. We had greeters, we had registration table people, we had beautiful, absolutely amazing music on Wednesday night. We had a ton of help in all different ways. For the conference this week. A very successful conference in every way, and especially thanks to you who helped make us good hosts here at Good Shepherd. Let's see, coming forward this week, of course, no school tomorrow because of Labor Day. We will, of course, notify the congregation when we have have a date and time for the funeral arrangements for Betty. Please keep Shirley, our member Shirley Green, and the entire family in your thoughts and prayers this week. As we look forward, we'll have one Bible study today. We'll be continuing, actually concluding, hopefully, our study of the communion theses from the ACELC. So we'll be looking at theses 6 and 7, and that will be in the fellowship hall. That's our only Bible study today. Want to make sure you know on the 17th, so that's two Sundays from now, We will be starting a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class. So if you're interested or you know of anyone who's interested, that's the target startup date, the 17th. Also, Sunday School Rally Day is just a week away, I believe. I believe it's next Sunday. And you see here a plea for Sunday school teachers. We always need more teachers. So if you're interested in serving our congregation in that way, please do so. Please consider that. A lot of people have been asking about hurricane relief. We've got a little note in our news and notes directing you where to go to find out how our synod is helping and working with that. Otherwise, regular schedule as the week proceeds on. Confirmation back on this week, and the children rejoice. Any other announcements? Oh, yeah. A couple of youth announcements, yes. Youth Bible study up in the youth room, continuing the study of the Luther movie, and Vicar will be leading it today. And then on Sunday, next Saturday, on the 9th, Vicar and I are taking the youth group paintballing. So if we look a little worse for wear on Sunday, or we don't show up at all, you have an explanation. So you see some information about that in the bulletin. So please take note of that and let Mark and Beth know how many are coming so we can plan for that. Lord be with you. We want to thank Pastor Russert for being with us today and for serving today. Pastor Poppy and Barb should be, I'm not sure when their flight left, but they're on their way back home today. Lord be with you as we rejoice in the one who truly does all things well. God's blessings.